My Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. You can go. I'll be there in a minute, but you can go ahead and go to Genesis 8 and 22 and Luke 6 and 38. Genesis 8 and 22 and Luke 6 and 38. And last week I taught from the subject of giving makes your life better. I basically shared my testimony. I will repeat just a very small portion of it and because I want to get into new information. And so last week was giving makes your life better, and I wanted to get you to understand the principles of giving and why we do what we do. And then today's lesson is entitled Live to Give. Everybody say live to give. So, of course, years ago I was at a very low point in my life, and I just wanted to see some things happen that I just was not seeing happen in my life, and I had some questions, and I would read scriptures like John 10 and 10, he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly, and I wasn't experiencing the abundant life. I would read scriptures like 3 John 2 where he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, and I wasn't experiencing that type of prosperity, and so I had questions, and it was at that time that I begin to learn the word of faith, and I begin to learn that the Bible was full of prophecy, promises, and principles. And for every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, that there was a faith process to bring it to pass. I begin to learn that the will of God was not automatic, and that God needed my permission and my participation to usher his will into my life. I begin to learn the importance of only saying what the word of God says, and to the degree that I would say what the word of God says, I would see the word of God come alive in my life. In tough times, I was getting out of the Marine Corps, set up a job. I was making $25, $20-some dollars an hour. And bottom line is I couldn't, on base, and I couldn't keep the job because I couldn't work third shift. Bottom line, they tried to get me to stay on and told me I could sleep a little bit on the job, but I told them no because I served the God who honored something called integrity. And to the degree I would do it his way, I would get his results in my life. And left that job with the agreement of my wife, left a job making between $25 and $30 an hour, and the only job I could find was for $6.25 an hour working in the afternoon with a bunch of teenagers. Everybody say tough times. My pastor was teaching on giving at this time, and he didn't teach on giving for 1 week. He didn't teach on giving for 3 weeks. He didn't teach on giving for 6 weeks. He didn't teach on giving for 12 weeks. He taught on giving a long time. And I appreciate him teaching on giving a long time because it took me a long time to get it, because I remember one Sunday sitting there and all of a sudden, even though I had already heard 11 lessons, the light bulb went on and I said, I got it. You got it. That God was not trying to get something from me. He was trying to get something to me, because where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. So God didn't really want my money. He wanted my heart. You got it. And so I begin to learn this principle of giving that radically changed my life. Go with me to Genesis 8 and 22. Now, here at Without Limits, we say giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper our lives. The Bible teaches us that this is just part of the process. It says in Genesis 8 and 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not do what, class? Cease. Shall not cease or shall not stop. So the Bible teaches us that there are going to be some constants, that there are going to be some consistencies, and seed time and harvest was just one of those constants. And so I begin to learn that seed, it leaves my hand, but it never leaves my life, that it goes into my future, it prepares my harvest, that it waits on my arrival. Now go with me to Luke 6 and 38. Luke 6 and 38. Luke 6 and 38, this really opened up something for me when I begin to read this. Because let's just be honest, when you don't have, you got it, you really want somebody to give you something. See, now y'all trying to play me. When I didn't have, I would have hoped somebody would have gave me something. Okay, all right. But I learned something that radically changed my life. It says, give, and then what's going to happen? It shall be given unto you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men. Shall who? Men. So it didn't say God, right? Although we know that God raises up men, you got it. He says, shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And so I begin to really study this verse and give, and it shall be given unto you. So if I want to receive, first thing I've got to do is I've got to let go. So, okay, I got that. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together. He's going to cause overflow to come. How's he going to cause it? He's going to raise up a man or woman, as the case may be, to be a blessing to me. I was not so concerned about it being given unto me when I realized that God raised up people and used them to be a blessing in the earth. When I read that, I said, Lord, make me the man, you got it, that you flowing stuff through. Because I learned that God is looking for channels that he can flow through. That if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Everybody say, if he can get it through me, he'll get it to me. So when you release what's in your hand, God releases what's in his, and his hands are bigger than yours. And so I begin to learn this principle of giving that radically changed my life. And even though we were making $6.25 an hour, and it was really tough times, we had a positive attitude. We kept saying what the word of God said. I would come home and put my check in the bank. Every Friday, lady would come home, and she would give me her check, and I would deposit, and we'd pay every bill, you know, that we had. And some weeks, there was only $56 left over for the whole week. I know none of you all have ever been through that situation before. And so, you know, so we couldn't go to Outback. You understand what I'm saying? We couldn't go, you know, we certainly couldn't go to Ruth Chris. You got it? We couldn't go to these places. But we would go, where would we go, class? Church's Chicken. That's right. We go to Church's Chicken, and we get that $1.99 two-piece special with that honey biscuit, and that honey biscuit was the will of God. And we were just as happy as we could be being at Church's Chicken, just as if we would have been at Outback, because we understood that the joy we had where we were right now was not based on where we were, but where God was taking us. Does that make sense? And so, because faith is not frustrating. Everybody say faith is not frustrating. See, when I'm in faith, I'm in joy. I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is moving in my life. You know, and that is the thing. And so that is why I have to have this sense of undisturbed peace and contentment, coupled with this expectation that God is doing amazing things in my life. Because watch this, because I don't want to get in a place of fear, you got an or place of frustration when God is trying to do some amazing things in my life. Does that make sense? And so I'm making $6.25 an hour. You can do the math times 40 hours a week. That's not a whole lot of money, right? But we're still, you know, paying my tithe. It's really not paying. It's really giving. Really, tithe. When you give your tithe, you're really giving back to God what belongs to him. Does that make sense? When you really understand, we say paying, but we're really not paying anything. We're giving God what belongs to him. So I'm giving of my tithe, my offering. You got it. I would give my pastor's offering. I was cutting the grass at church. We had a church in Kinston. I was cutting the grass at that church. I was always around. I was at church an hour ahead of time, vacuuming, just doing anything I could, because I learned this principle of giving, that it wasn't just limited to money. You understand what I'm saying? But if I would serve, if I would sow, and if I would sacrifice, I would see the supernatural power of God in my life. Everybody say, if I sow, if I serve, if I sacrifice, I'll see the supernatural. And so, you know, long story short, because I was explaining my testimony last week, God opened some doors. He raised up some people to help me. He caused me to walk through a door that in 3 to 5 years' time, I went from making $6.25 an hour to $2.7 million every year. No degree, just the favor of God, just because I simply obeyed God. You got it? Not that I just simply obeyed God, but I consistently obeyed God. So I did simply obey God, but I consistently obeyed God. Everybody say consistent. All right? Go with me to Isaiah 55:8. Isaiah 55:8, and then we'll go to Job 36:11. I like when I teach this, I like to teach it together. So Isaiah 55:8. Everybody say simple obedience. That's what it is. Simple obedience. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what God is saying? God is just saying, I'm smarter than you. That's basically what he's saying, you know, and it's not in a condescending way. He's just saying that I'm not going to come down to your level of thinking. You've got to come up to my level of thinking. I'm not going to come down to your way of doing things. You've got to come up to my way of doing things. You got it? And so I'm not the only one that tried to do it on my own. And we know what happens when you try to do it on your own. But to the degree you do it God's way, you will get God results. Isn't that right? All right. Now, Job 36 and 11. There it is on the screen. It says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in. How many want to spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure? Everybody in the room, right? And so, you know, it's simple obedience, simple obedience. When I obey God, when I do what? When I obey God, I set into motion spiritual forces into the earth. I like to call it spiritual momentum. Everybody say spiritual momentum. That's my definition for spiritual momentum. It is a force that is released in the earth when you obey God. It is a force. It's not something natural. You got it? It is a force that is released in the earth when you obey God that attracts ever-increasing participation. So it's like a snowball effect. When you think of ever-increasing participation, you know, you see it at least on the cartoons at the top of the hill with the snowball is this big, but as it keeps rolling, it gets bigger and bigger. So it's ever-increasing. It's like this snowball effect, ever-increasing participation in the spirit realm as well as in the natural realm that helps you overcome obstacles so you can accomplish the will of God and lay hold to the promises of God in your life. That is what spiritual momentum is. It is a force that is released in the earth. You got it? The Bible says that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So when I do what his word says, do angels take off to speedily bring forth the will of God to my life? Does that make sense? And so it's spiritual momentum. This is something that the word of God, that the word of God documents. We look at the widow in 1 Kings. She was preparing to take her little morsel of bread and make a little dinner for her son that they might eat it and die. You got it. But the man of God shows up and says, hey, I want you to make me a cake first. She's like, hold on. I heard you a good preacher and all that kind of stuff, but you ain't getting my lash. You understand what I'm saying? And so he had to take her from a place of fear to a place of faith. Well, why do you say she was in fear? She said, me and my son are going to eat this and die. He said, hold on. He said, fear not, for thus saith the Lord. And he begins to speak to her. And then, of course, the simple obedience, she just went and did what the man of God said do, and then the Bible says that she did not die, but as a matter of fact, she did eat many days, amen? And so spiritual momentum, everybody say spiritual momentum. So I remember vividly the day that I quit a $25 an hour job, and I picked up a $6.25 an hour job, but I started spiritual momentum. I didn't panic because I understood that if I was willing and obedient, I would eat the good of the land. Does that make sense? That I would get results if I obey God. And that's the key in life, that you have to really learn how to obey God. I'm not just talking about in the area of your giving. I'm talking about in every area of your life. You have to learn how to obey God. You have to learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit. You got it? And when you begin to hear the voice of the Spirit, you got to understand it's not some deep, you got it, real strong, James McGarver, this is the Lord, what are you doing down there? That's not the way it's going to be. Because when he approaches us in a way that we can handle it. You got it? How many know if you were in the bed, you got it, in this bright light shine, in this deep voice, you know, you would not look up. You would probably get up under the covers. You understand what I'm saying? You know, surely if you won't even go check the back door when the wife says she hears something, when the bright lights show up, you're not going to look up. Anyways, I'm going to stay away from that. I could say something there, but I won't. Everybody say, obey God. So you can never be God-giving no matter how hard you try. The more you give, the more he will give back to you, but it's a matter of your faith. You got it? Because nobody can force you to give or make you give. It's got to be something that you do from the heart. Does that make sense? So giving is not a game, but it's God's plan to prosper your life. If you're writing, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. All right. Giving positions you to live an amazing life. Giving positions you to live an amazing life. A lot of people are in view, but they're not in position. Now, I need you to stay with me. Everybody say stay with me. Matter of fact, check your neighbor. Make sure that your neighbor is up because some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right. Okay. All right. What did I tell you to write? Giving positions you to live an amazing life. A lot of people are in view, but they are not in position. Let me explain that to you. If I'm coming to church, but I'm not giving, I'm not serving, I'm in view of everything God wants me to have, but I'm not in position to receive it. Does that make sense? But watch this now. But if I'm coming to church and I'm a giver, I'm serving, I'm doing all that, you have to understand that God obligates himself to help me. All right? Jay is, how old is Jay now? 16 years old. Jay is 16 years old. If you've seen Jay, he's much taller than I am. You got it. I am 5'5". You better not forget the half. You understand? God gave me that half, and I appreciate that half. You got it. I got some platforms on today. I'm 5'6". You understand what I'm saying? Oh, yes, indeed. So if I hug you, you're like, oh, Pastor see me a little bit taller. I am. And when Jay was younger, just a little kid, probably second grade, third grade, I would take him to school, and we did the whole carpool thing. And when you get to the school, you had to get in line, and you had to, you know, wait for the teacher to come. When the teacher came at the right time, you know, you could open the door and let the kids out. Y'all know how carpool works. And so anyways, Jay and I, if you had to be there, let's say he had to be there at 7:30 in the morning, we were there at 6:55. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm just trying to instill in my children the importance of being places early, you got it, and those kind of things. And plus, it gives us time to pray, and then talk about WWF. You understand what I'm saying? It gives us time for him to try to tell me all these new wrestlers and how good they are. And I tell him, negative, Ghost Rider, you were not anybody unless you were Randy Macho Man Savage. Oh, yeah. You know, I would explain, you know, things like that. Jimmy Superfly Snuka. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And so I would try to explain to him, you don't even know about Andre the Giant, you know? And so anyways, Jake the Snake Roberts. You understand what I'm saying? And it's okay, come back on down, Mac. And so we would do this, and so what happens was we got accustomed to who the teacher was in the morning, so we knew their car. So when the teacher would drive up on the parking lot, the people behind me, because I was always the first in line, the people behind me would open their cars and go ahead and let their kids out. But when they sent us the email, they told us, do not let your kids out until that teacher gets in position. Everybody say in position. Not in view, you just see him coming around the corner, but wait until he gets in position, all right? And so what happens is the people let their kids out, Jay sitting right in the car. You understand what I'm saying? Now he's feeling a little bit uncomfortable and probably a little bit embarrassed, you got it? But I don't care that the people behind me are blowing their horn, because the rule says you can't be in view, but he has to be in. Okay, now y'all are with me. And so what happens is that didn't bother me. And then one day, the teacher, I guess, just felt necessary to come and thank me. And he said, listen, I just want to thank you because you never let Jay out early, you know, and that kind of thing. He says, there's something that these other parents don't understand. He says that the school has policies and they have regulations and they have rules. And the rule states that if I'm just in view and they let the child get out and something happens to the child, the liability is not on the school, the liability is on the parent. He said, but if they will allow me to get in position, watch this, and then the child gets out, if something happens to the child, then the liability is on the school and the school takes care of everything. See, what we don't understand is that if I'm coming to church and I'm not giving, I'm not serving, I'm not sacrificing, I'm just in view of what God wants to do, but if anything happens, the liability is not on God, the liability is on me. But if I am a giver, if I am a person that serves, if I'm a person that sacrifices, if crisis ever shows up in my life, it doesn't matter what comes or what goes. God says, because of your faithfulness, you are in position and the liability falls on me, and I am able to do exceeding abundantly far above all that you can ask or think. So you can't be in view. You got to be in position. So it's the whole thing about righteous expectation versus unrighteous expectation. It's an unrighteous expectation for me to expect God to cause the favor of God to show in my life if I don't do what the Bible teaches me to do to see the favor show up in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So let me give you a disclaimer. He's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention, and it causes him to move. All right? I'm going to make a statement, and when I make it, I don't want you to write this one down, okay, because I want you to hear the whole thing out. Giving can be difficult. So I never thought I'd hear my pastor say that. Well, I'm going to explain it to you. Giving can be difficult if I don't realize it's God's plan. All right? So I'm going to give you four things that fall under this piece. I'm going to give you four things. So number one, it is difficult to give when my plan is valued above my confidence in God's plan. Let me read it again. It is difficult to give when my plan to, come on class, when my plan to is valued above my confidence in God's plan. I must have confidence that God's plan works better than mine. Everybody say God's plan, works better than mine. So it's difficult when I've got this plan, you got it, and I cause my plan to be above God's plan. All right, number two, everybody say number two. Number two, it is difficult to give when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. Sometimes people say, no, because if I give the tithe, if I give the offering, I can't go get them shoes I've been wanting to get. So I can't see giving as losing, but rather gaining. So if I give, God will give back to me, and I'll be able to get all the cowboy gear I want. We have company, Bryant. We have company. So I can't see giving as losing, but rather gaining. All right, number three. Everybody say number three. I'm almost done. About to wrap this thing up. All right? Excuse me. It is difficult to give when it looks like God is better to others than he is to me. And that's a tough situation because we don't understand how the favor of God works. All right? And so... So what happens is God could be blessing somebody. You got it. You know, can be blessing somebody, and you'll hear me give a testimony. Yeah, man, I got a testimony from so and so, and God's doing amazing things in life, and everybody goes and claps for them. You know, but you don't clap for them. The reason you don't clap for them is because now you have gotten upset with God because you were in faith for something, or I thought you were in faith for something. Does that make sense? And what happens now, if you're not careful, if it's taken too long for the thing you are believing for to come to pass, and you see God blessing them, and God blessing them, and God blessing them, but he hasn't blessed you yet, if you're not careful, the enemy will get in and say, see, this don't work. That's just a trick of the enemy. And that's why the writer says, don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, that means he's in the neighborhood. And so you got to learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice. So somebody getting blessed, praise God. Somebody getting blessed, praise God. Somebody getting blessed, praise God. I am next in line to see God do something amazing in my life. So if God's blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. The key to understanding number three is that everything about God is a process. So things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. And that is why the writer says, in patience possess you your soul. You got it? And so when walking by faith, if I'm willing to wait forever, what's going to happen? It won't take that long, right? But I have to be willing to wait forever. Why do I have to be willing to wait forever? Because it shows that I'm truly in faith. It lets the devil know that I'm going to outlast you. Yes, I'm believing that I receive it right now. You got it. But if it takes a month, 3 months, or 6 months, I'm going to stay in the fight. And if I stay in the fight, I'm going to win. Does that make sense? All right. Point number four. It is difficult. Giving becomes difficult when I allow others to dump their doubt and unbelief on me. So, you know, I don't know why, but I feel like I just got to stop right here and just put it in part. Because if you're not careful, you will listen to somebody that is disgruntled with God over a situation, you got it, and watch this now, and try to spin it, you got it, like it's somebody else's fault or somebody did them wrong or now they're a victim and they want to share, watch this now, their doubt and unbelief and try to dump it on you. Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, giving never worked for me. I believe it. Because you didn't intentionally, you got it, operate God's plan for your life. You got it. You made a deal with God. I'll give the tithe, you know, but in a couple months, I don't see no return, you know, then it's over. Well, you never gave in faith. Because you put God on a timetable, and God cannot be put on a timetable, because God, at the end of the day, doesn't want your money. He wants your heart, and that's the difference. See, if God wanted your money, he'd just take the money and go. But he wants your heart. He wants to know that you are going to trust him till the end. This is good right here. All right? And people say, well, giving never worked for me. Well, see, the word of God doesn't need our experience to validate it. The word of God is what it is, whether you experience it or not. All right? And so I think the key is understanding that I cannot allow people to dump their doubt and unbelief, and I don't know about that, and I don't know about, you know, it's so funny, just because we have a larger size church, people will just throw things on us, which is amazing. It doesn't bother me, it's just amazing. Yeah, you can't go down there. That's the money church. Well, why would you say that? Well, that's what I heard. Well, based on what? Somebody told me. Well, have you ever been there? No, I've never been there. You got it. I heard every Sunday all you talk about is money. Is that right? Well, do you want to come? No, I was told to stay away. And that's a trick of the enemy to steal a seed that God wants to sow into their life so they can live a better life. Good God Almighty. And so what happens is, watch this, they don't go so they don't want you to go. They don't live a good life so they don't want you to live a good life. They're frustrated, so they want you to be frustrated. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so people will pose limitations on you, and the danger of them imposing these limitations is that it hinders your expectation. When my expectation has been hindered, my faith has nothing to work with, because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when you have hindered my expectation, you have now defrauded my hope. And my thing is, who are you to tell me what I can have and cannot have, where I can go and cannot go, what I can do and cannot do, until you make your world and your Bible, I'm going to follow this one. You got it? And so, So my movement in life is not necessarily based on your immovement in life. Oh, my manifestation in life is not based on your lack of manifestation in life. And my believing in life is certainly not based on your unbelieving in life. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, if thou canst. Oh, I was ready for it. One more time. If that, we're going to act like that didn't happen, okay? We're going to edit the tape. If thou canst believe. That's the criteria. We got to get out of here, Courtney. I got 1:03 left. If you can do what?
Believe.
If you can do what?
Believe.
If you can believe that the marriage will get better, it'll get better. I know it's tough. I know they're acting kind of dumb right now. I hate to use the word dumb, but it's better than a lot of other words I could use. And I had my dumb days too, so I'm not knocking anybody. You understand what I'm saying? I've had my dumb days. And I share it with y'all on purpose. I've shared it with you all throughout my experience. I've shared how I had dumb days and I thought I knew everything, you know, and those kind of things. And then the Lord had to come and get me and let me know you think you're the man, but you are not the man. You are not treating her right. Now, this is early on, y'all. This ain't last week, all right? Just want to put that out there. Am I telling the truth, baby? Yeah, she said, yeah. No, this is in first 6 months, 9 months of marriage, you know, that kind of thing. I learned. I picked it up quick because I don't know why I got to go this route, but I would. Because I learned that when a man has found a wife, he's found a good thing, and he has obtained favor from the Lord. So watch this. So on my wedding day, I got a whole lot. I got me a good thing. You got, because I got me a Holy Ghost girl. Living in a Holy Ghost world, but I'll talk to you later about that. Huh? But watch this. But I also obtained favor from the Lord. Let me tell you how this works. Because, you know, brothers, let's just be honest. Most of us can be rough around the edges. I know we don't like to admit that, but most of us, you know, we can be rough around. We do real good in public, but sometimes when we get home, especially, we can be rough around the edges. Also, y'all want to play me? It's okay. You know, because you'll say some stuff at home that you won't say nowhere else. But because they're so soft and they're so gentle, but still willing to tell you the truth. And then the Holy Spirit comes behind and says, yeah, you know she's right. So you get mad. She's still right. And so what I had to do was learn that God gave her to me to help me. And that together, if we would get an agreement on this thing, we could do some amazing things. And so when I realized I messed up, I don't even know where I'm going this route because this is not what I was going to do, but I just got to obey God. So when I realized that I was making mistakes and messed up, when I went to her and said, you know, I'm new at this, I ain't going to lie. Because, you know, no one gave me, you know, I didn't go to college on how to be a good husband. You understand what I'm saying? And y'all didn't either, or a good wife. And I realized that, man, it is me. But when I went to her and said, that's my bad, she didn't say, about time you came around. Been putting oil on your pillow. I've been doing that. And she might have been doing all that. But she didn't make me feel bad. She said, no problem. Even though it probably was, she extended grace. Oh, God. Because she understood that two are better than one. She understood as long as we're at odds, this favor is not going to flow in our lives. So there's no use in adding insult to injury. If brother man said he's sorry, I'm going to receive it. Tell him it's no problem so we can get together in unity and agreement and see God do everything he wants to do in our lives. And so, brothers, if you're rough around the edges, don't sweat it. We all are. But day by day, we're just getting a little bit better. But thank God for a good wife. I need to look down. Thank God for a good wife. Because sometimes you don't feel like it, but she's a good wife. Sometimes you don't think that. Sometimes you feel like you picked the wrong one, but you picked the right one. When quitting is not an option, victory becomes inevitable. So my question to you is, when are you going to stop talking about quitting? When divorce is not an option, the marriage will be amazing. So when are you going to quit talking about divorce? When you learn to commit wholly, and I mean wholly, you'll see some amazing things happen in your life. There's one thing I do, and I do it pretty much on a consistent basis, maybe not quite as much now as I did before. We're in this over 20 years, and God has really blessed us, and we communicate very well. But I would always go to Lady, and I would tell her, are you happy? Now, that's something I ask her all the time, you know. But you know, and then I would tell her, is there anything you need me to do? Is there anything you need me to change? Well, why, you know, that takes a lot of man to do that. Well, you got to be a lot of man sometimes. Well, Pastor, she messes up too. I hear you. And I didn't say she never did. But watch this. But the same way she extends grace to me is the same way that I extend grace to her. And me being the leader, even though the two become one, I'm still the head. And the Bible says, husbands, leader, head, love your wives, your helpmeet, your favor, your good thing, as Christ loved the church and gave himself a ransom. So the Bible, and I think it's, I'm not sure if it's a message or amplified, but it said that he went all out, even until death. And so, you know, I'm not going to get on you about the whole death part. I'm going to let the Lord deal with you on that. But I'll tell you one thing for Pastor James McGovern. If there's a situation and one of us is going to be hurt, she'll be the next senior pastor of WLCC. Because I'm going to do what the Bible says do. Because watch this. In doing what the Bible says do, I'm not just honoring my wife, I'm honoring God. Does that make sense? And to the degree I honor God and do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. and I didn't want to go this way, and I know it was a little rough, but sometimes you just need me to be your pastor. You got to, sometimes I play, you know, and I'm just joking. Now, the guys were out there. Mark was, he was holding an umbrella, and the other guys were opening the doors for the people. So they were, you know, but I'm playing. Well, why ain't y'all out there like Mark? I'm just fooling when it comes to that, you know. And they know me good enough, Pastor, just having fun. You got it. But right now, Pastor, serious. That if you really want to see the favor of God show up in your life, I mean, if you really want it, treat her like the queen that she is. And if you will treat her like the queen that she is, and watch this, and maybe she does have some issues, but let God deal with that while you're letting God deal with you. And one thing I noticed, I'm just telling you, this is just my story, but the more I got better and took care of myself and did the right things, it seemed like everything got better. Because at the end of the day, everything flows from the head down. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a hand, praise in the house. That's